You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill.
Andrew McCart, IFL TV in association with MTK Global, with my good friend Josh Taylor. Josh, I've been in your house about an hour, man. We've talked everything but boxing, but we'll talk some boxing.
Let's talk some boxing now, aye.
good news for yourself. Let's just jump straight into it. Good news for yourself. Jack Carroll's agreed to step aside to allow you the undisputed fight against Jose Ramirez. Looks like Bob Arum said it's going to be early next year. I mean, how happy are you? And thankful for Jack, I suppose.
I'm over the moon. I'm over the moon, mate. Aye, it's finally there's no obstacles there now. You know, that's the reason why I went with top rank in MTK as well, because you can make these things work. Like, basically, no questions asked there. You know, it was brilliant. You know, so obviously a big massive thank you to Jack as well for accepting to step aside and wait. You know, so obviously he's got the big chance next, you know, once I beat up Ramirez, so that's me and him will get to do it next, and that'll be good, you know. So I would say I'm happy. I can't explain it really. I'm delighted that, you know, I'm getting to get this dream fight. You know, I think I deserve it, you know. I think I'm deserving of it, you know, given my last four or five performances. So I'm delighted, mate.
The thing is as well, like, I think I've said in numerous interviews with yourself, not just with myself, but Umar and everything else, I think I've heard you say that once you become undisputed, you're going to move up and vacate. But are you going to stick around for that one more fight, just give Jack his shot?
Everybody seems to be saying that I'm going straight up to 147 and that, you know, obviously that would be, that is a logical decision, but I'm not in a hurry, you know. I'm making 140 quite comfortably. So I'm not in a hurry to do it. If fights come around, there is other good fights out there at 140 that can be made, but obviously I've nothing else to prove. If when I beat Ramirez, I've nothing else to prove. I'm number one in the division, so then it would be go up to 147 and, you know, chase a second weight world title. But, you know, given Jack stepped aside and he's agreed that he gets a winner after it, you know, then we might do that next. You know, we never know. We just need to wait and see what comes my way. But, you know, I'm thankful for Jack for doing that, so I'd like to try and honour it, yeah.
Again, it's an easy fight to make between you and Jack. You know, you've got that whole Scotland v England thing and all the titles on the line.
It's a massive fight as well. It's an all sort of the old enemy kind of Scotland versus England match, you know, for all the belts. That's never happened before, you know, so that's a piece of history.
But we're shy at football, Josh, so at least
shy at football, we're good at boxing, we're good at fighting. So that's a massive piece of history in itself. So that's huge.
Going to Jose Ramirez then, again, I watched your interview with Umar. You said you weren't very impressed with him against Postol. Does that just give you more confidence going into the Ramirez fight? I know you've always had that confidence against something Ramirez, because I think you said that he's very, not one dimensional, but you know what you're going to get with Ramirez. But you've got loads of tools in your toolbox, so to speak. Do you think now that that's giving you more confidence, watching what he did to Postol, watching what you did to Postol, and going into this fight maybe early next year, it's gave you that extra edge?
Yeah, a little bit, you know. I know he can perform better. I'm not going to sit here and bad mouth Ramirez, because he is a very, very good fighter, and very strong, you know. But I do think he can perform better than what he did, given that, you know, three fights got cancelled, so he's had three back-to-back training camps, had to peak three times and all that sort of stuff, and the no fans thing there. So that kind of, I believe that has a factor in it. But having said that, I've never seen anything different at all with what I've seen from before. Same thing, same shite, same movement, same patterns, come forward, pressure fighter, try to take your head off. That's easy for me. That's he'll walk into a shot if he tries to think he's, I see in an interview he said he's going to come in and overwhelm me. That's perfect for me. I'll take his head off if that's the case. So I wasn't impressed with what I saw against Postol. I just thought it was very ordinary, and so licking my lips and rubbing my hands together, can't wait.
Again, early next year, hopefully with everything that's going on, we're seeing that there's no fans here in the UK in sporting events. There was meant to be in the 1st of October, but the government took it back. Do you feel within yourself, Bob Arum said that it's either going to be in Edinburgh or Vegas or the US, but is it safe to say that it's going to be in the US?
It's probably going to be in the US with the way things are happening here with COVID, and especially the lockdowns north of the border here in Scotland. It's it's just ridiculous what's happening up here. So it's not looking like it's going to happen here. It's going to be more likely in America, you know. So I'm the first to be that. That's it's what the things that dreams are made of. One tip off the bucket list again, go to the US and headline a show and what I want to do it, and the all disputed, you know, undisputed
Ken Buchanan,
fight, you know, so there you go, a massive piece of history again. So that's another one off the bucket list, so I'm more than happy for it to be in the USA. In fact, I'd probably rather it be there, but the way things are just now here.
I think I said to you as well, I done a chat with one of your old opponents in Regis Progre a couple of weeks ago, and he said there's going to be fans at his fight in Texas. So, and there's going to be, I think he said, along the lines of 12,000 fans. I mean, in a 12,000 fans in a 70,000 seat stadium, but at least there's fans there.
At least there's getting fans there. At least you're getting someone there, you know. That last fight there, it never really affected my mental side of things, but it was a very strange feeling.
Very odd. I've been a couple of shows.
Very odd. Coming, walking out to the ring, and nobody there. You know, a couple of claps.
Good music choice as well, and nobody there. Appreciate
James Brown. Yeah, I know. I've paid the cost to be the boss. You know, it was good. But walking out to the ring and hearing a couple of wee claps for just with the people that are in working and getting your name shouted out in the corner when you're about to go out, and hearing no noise, and it just felt like a sparring match, you know. Which is why I'm giving Ramirez a benefit of the doubt, his performance, because it did feel a bit like a sparring match. But at the same time, I had that mentality that this is a world title fight, this guy's here to take my head off, his chance to change his life, go back and live in Thailand like a king, you know what I mean. So I thought that didn't affect me at all, and that's how I felt good. But you know, that's why I've sort of given Ramirez the benefit of the doubt, but it never affected me, so it shouldn't have affected him. I don't believe it did, but we'll wait and see. We're going to find out now, aren't we?
I went to my friend's house to watch your fight. Obviously it's the first time I've watched your fight on TV, and I'm going to one of your fights for a long time. But I said that I was kind of hoping that you would get more rounds in, because I know you said, we spoke off camera, that you said that good sparring's like a fight, you're getting the rounds in anyway, but when it's under lights, the smaller gloves, it's like you've been out the ring longer now, rather than just a year you've been out, because you've done less than a round.
Doesn't affect me. I still had that same feeling of going in for fight night, and that same that same bit of butterflies,
the weigh-in
and the
like
weigh-in
that,
and the nerves and the butterflies. I still had all that experience, so that's enough, you know. And I had more than enough sparring, good quality sparring to be sharp, you know. I didn't really believe in the saying ring rust. I didn't believe that, like, believe in that, because if you're getting good competitive sparring when you're getting leading up for a fight, you're trying what you're trying to do in sparring, what you do in a fight. So if you're getting good competitive sparring, you're getting pushed in, and especially on days when you're tired and done a hard week's graft, and you've got someone coming in that's fresh, and they're just as, if not more, better than fights, you know, in terms of getting yourself ready. So I don't believe really in ring rust at all. But I did go through the experience of being in the changing room and getting up for a fight, the weigh-in and fight week and all that sort of
with
stuff.
With Ben as well, I know that's been hopped on all your first experience.
So
with
that's
Ben,
been, so. It's no problem at all. It's no problem at all. If I get good sparring for Ramirez, that's all I need. That's all I need.
Again, there was talk about who's pound for pound number one in the UK. I think a lot of people have put you up there now, because your last five opponents, now this is ridiculous, was like the combined record is something ridiculous, like
110
to 1. I mean, that's crazy.
It's a good record, and it's a good record, you know. Obviously it's good to be
are you the O taker? Did you know, change your name to the zero taker?
The O snatcher, the zero snatcher. I think it's good to be putting my name involved in these things, and it's good to be finally getting the recognition that I deserve, you know, that I've been kind of, and I still believe I am a wee bit underrated, especially as a world champion, for what I've done and 17 fights, you know, and performances I've put on. I'm definitely underrated, but it doesn't really bother me, Andy. You know, you've known me for years, it doesn't bother me. I actually kind of like it that way. So there's no pressure on me that way, do you know what I mean? I'm not expected to do these big, great things like other fighters get put on this pedestal, and then they come up against the first test and they fail, because they've got all the hype about them and all that when they fail. You know, you've seen it time and time and time again, so that doesn't bother me at all.
I know it doesn't bother.
I know I can fight.
Aye.
You know I can fight. People fight. Around me know I can fight. Real boxing fans know I can fight, so that's all that matters.
Why do you think that is then, Josh? Because if that was anyone else with the record that you've got, the titles that you hold, and the way that you are, the way that you fight, the sort of the way you are on camera as well, why do you think that is, that you're slipping under the radar a little bit? It's maybe too...
I don't know, maybe I don't know. Maybe a lot of it's to do with... Well, some of it's to do with my last setup that I had. They never done anything to promote me, go out their way to promote me and make my brand bigger, and you know, and I'd advertise me, basically. They never done that at all, so that's probably why I kind of flew under the radar a wee bit.
Because you're a jock.
Maybe because I'm all sweaty sock.
Sweaty sock, man.
I think it's maybe something to do with that as well. Yeah, you know, yeah. They've never been out of their way to get me the exposure. The only exposure I got was maybe an advert on Fight Week or a radio interview, and that was it. So that's probably a lot to do with it, I would say.
I've got to ask as well, you put MTK, and I know you've got a good relationship with Tyson Fury. Now, his fight with... I'm going to get your opinion on this. His fight with Wilder's off now. Mm-hmm. The trilogy's off.
I think that was pointless anyway, but...
Yeah.
Wilder is dangerous. He's got that one punch, but Tyson beat him twice, you know, so I thought it was pointless anyway.
Well, him and Joshua both fighting in December, looks like. Do you think they can do, like, a split show between you in the US with Ramirez and Joshua Tyson here in the UK?
What, on the same day?
Aye, because you're in the US.
Nah, well, I'm a bit, but you don't want to be on the same day. That's two huge, huge fights.
Yeah.
So you want it to be, it'd be myself and Ramirez fighting, and then
next week
in a big event, and then the next week a big event for boxing again for Joshua and Fury. Do you know what I mean? That's better for the sport line. It gets more in the public eye. So now I would say two separate events.
Big fight, Joshua Fury. I think I've had your opinion on this before, and who do you think will win, but how do you see that fight going? Because obviously Joshua's technically he's better than Wilder and does carry power as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's more dangerous as well. He's definitely he's a better boxer than what Wilder is. I'd say he carries just as much power because he's a unit of a guy. He combination punches and that, so he's definitely a lot better than Wilder. But I just think it's, in a lot of ways, it's Fury's fight to lose. When it comes to boxing, I don't think there's many people that can get near Fury, because his unpredictability is the way he moves around. He doesn't know what he's going to do himself at times, and then he does it, and it's very hard to prepare for that, you know, and he can do it all as well. He's got the head movement and boxing ability, the reflexes, and very, very awkward kind of style. So it's hard to get ready for that kind of style. And I just think it's, when it comes to boxing, it's Fury's fight all day long. If it goes in close and they go a bit toe-to-toe, then that's dangerous territory. Josh could catch him with one of his uppercuts and left hooks, and he might not get up from it, you know. So I do think it is a close fight, but I'm edging towards Fury.
So finally, what's next for you then, Josh? I'm sitting this. I don't know if it's a man cave, but it's a gym, and I can smell petrol. But I'm going to do a separate video on that. I can smell petrol, man. I love the smell of it. Like the
got the new toy there. You know,
I won't pan around. I'm doing another video. I want you to go around this gym. There'll be gym tour, and I want you to show us the boys' toys.
This is the wee man cave we've got in here. They've got the wee gym, the wee workshop, Taylor HQ. So I'm making it my own, slowly but surely, you know. So it's got to be good once it's done.
Definitely.
Finished.
I'm going to come up and do another video then. When are you going back down to Ben? See Ben?
Probably in a couple of weeks. I've got a couple of things to sort out with home, and then I'll be back down, back to business.
Back to business. Now, Josh, I won't keep you much longer, my man. Again, thanks for this 5FL TV. Thanks for inviting me to Taylor HQ.
No worries, mate.
And,
cheers.
Speak to you soon, champ.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, man.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.